Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you and we thank you. This is the day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we just thank you that your word is powerful. And we thank you for the flow of the Spirit, Holy Ghost. You know what needs to be done, so we just get in with you. And I thank you that I'll say what you want said. I'll say it in the manner you want it said, as I ought. And I thank you for your word being spoken, your will being imparted, and for us being committed unto that and being changed and going forward as we hear, we receive, we believe, we receive, and we move forward and obey in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It says there, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." When he says that, you can think of it in this way: I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then the next verse, verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, we could go all the way back to the Old Testament. I think it's in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, I think. You don't have to put it up. But it says, "The just shall live by his faith." So God was speaking that even in the Old Testament unto us. And so he makes that statement. Well, we get so hung up on the terminology of what our church is. We are a Word of Faith church. We are a Word church. We are a Pentecostal church. We are a Charismatic church. We're this, we're that. We have all these different, and all of that is true. And we, in the Word of Faith movement, preach so much on faith, but the truth is that we are to live by faith and not by sight. Now, one of the most gifted human beings probably on the planet, talented, enabled, gifted, just tremendous in intellect when he lived, was the Apostle Paul. He was brilliant. You can see it in his writings. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel or Gamaliel, however you want to pronounce it. And he was a teacher in Israel. And Saul, at that time, his name was Saul of Tarsus, learned from him. And it was an exclusive group. And he was brilliant on his way to the priesthood, on his way probably to, you know, being one of the Sanhedrin. Absolutely brilliant man. And yet, he is the one who penned these verses that we just read. And he did not say, "For we walk by our giftings and not by sight." He said, "We walk by faith and not by sight." He didn't say, "I walk by my giftings. I survive by my giftings." He didn't do that. And I'm telling you, the season in which we live, it is not about how smart you are. It's always been this way. It's not about how gifted you are. It's not about how much, you know, oratory skill you have. It's not about any of that. But it's simply about walking by faith. And I want to go through this, and we're going to go over now to Hebrews chapter 5. We were here last week, and I want to go here again. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. And while you're turning there, I'm going to flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, there's so many different places I could go. But before I get to Hebrews, and before I get to Ephesians, let me say this. God puts the body together as it pleases Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us that. In Romans chapter 12, it tells us that. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. It says there that God puts the body together as it has pleased Him. So in the same way that He put your physical body together, He puts the church together. And when He does that, He puts it together with certain things in everybody. And as He does, He knows what He's doing. Now, when He does this, He expects us to grow up. But as He does this, He says, as long as it is the church age, there are things that you're going to need. He calls them the gifts. It's really the fivefold ministry. And He says that in Ephesians chapter 4. Every church should have a pastor. If they don't have a pastor, I question if they're a church. They may meet, they may sing, they may have somebody stand up and say something, but if they don't have a pastor, quite honestly, I don't think they're a church. And in Ephesians chapter 4, He says in verse 8, wherefore He saith, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Open parentheses. We open the parentheses here. And then there are some statements made inside those. But when He closes the parentheses, then you see what the gifts are. So you jump down to verse 11. He gave gifts unto men, and verse 11 tells you what those gifts are. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man. We are headed that direction, but until Jesus returns, the ministry gifts are necessary. And every church has a pastor that God calls there. Now, I did some itinerant ministry. I called a church one time, it was in the area where I was at, and called them and asked them, about the possibility of coming to preach. And they said, well, right now we don't have a pastor and we haven't had one for several years. And I thought, I don't know, I'm going to touch this with a 10-foot pole. And what they would do is just wing it, I guess. Never went there. And they would have somebody just stand up and I guess it was, well, anybody got anything? Well, that's okay in certain services. But that's not okay as far as not having a pastor, because the pastor will be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, having said all of this, the reason that I'm talking about this is because it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the way that it's written in the King James, it sounds like that the ministry gifts do everything. But that's not accurate. It actually reads much better in the Amplified Classic. We're not going to read it, but it actually talks about why are these gifts given? For the perfecting of the saints, so that we can all together do the work of the ministry and build one another up, edify one another. So, the ministry gifts are necessary, but why are they necessary? To grow us up. That's the thing about it. Now, I am a ministry gift unto you. I am a ministry gift to the body of Christ. And I don't despise that, and I don't belittle that. I do not brag or boast in that. That's God's choosing. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I'm not even meet to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He didn't brag or boast that he was an apostle. He said, I'm not really in and of myself meet or fit to be an apostle, but by God's grace, by His choosing, and then His enablement, I am what I am. And that's how I have to look at it. You need to understand, this young man, I grew up in a town of 350 people. Not worldly wise. I grew up in that small town. I mean, you knew everybody. If somebody new came into town, you knew it. And you know, that's where I grew up. I didn't grow up, you know, with all, and where I was at, you know, there weren't any Bible schools around close. God took me, sent me to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I just love God's multiplication. He took me from a town of 350 people to a town of 350,000 people, then to a town of 3.5 million people. He just kept adding zeros to the end. Because I ended up in Atlanta, Georgia, in that area. And Atlanta itself isn't that big, but the Atlanta area is huge. And it's much bigger now. But anyway, I'm saying this, not to boast, but just to give you an understanding. God gave me here to you to help grow you up. Now, when he goes into this, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, says perfect, under the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, which is the head, even may grow, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working of the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that is a mouthful. Especially when you say it as fast as I just did. And what he is talking about is growing up. But he also talks about you and you and the gifts that you have coming together. God fits the body together. But then he actually uses some terminology, and when you look it up, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, he fits it together, and compacted. That word compacted actually means this, close knitted. So the knitting together, he fits it, he brings it together, but the close knittedness takes place when the joints or each part activates its giftings and does its part, and when we love on one another. When that happens, there becomes a close knittedness in the body. And this is the church, and there's much more there. Now, let's go over now to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, because he talks about growing up. And that's what that was talking about there too, growing up. And there's so much more, but again, here in Hebrews 5. And he says, for everyone, in verse 13, Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them which are of full age, they're mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, backing up into verse 13 again, where we just were, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. in the word of righteousness. Now, don't get hung up where it says the word of righteousness. He's not talking just about the doctrine of righteousness. He's really talking about the righteous word of God. So what he says here is everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Those that have nothing more than the absolute basics, he says they're unskillful, and that means inexperienced. They have zero experience in using the Word of God. They may have heard it. They may be able to quote it to you. They've probably sat in Sunday school, and they've sat in 100,000 services. They've maybe been in revival services in their church for 50 years. But they do not use the Word of God. They are inexperienced in the Word of righteousness, or you could put it this way again, they are inexperienced in the righteous Word of God, and they're babes, they're babies. But then going on into the next verse, into 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. He's talking about going beyond the basics. And he says, these things are for those who are mature. It belongs to them that are of full age, even to those, and then he talks about who by reason of use, who use the Word of God. Now, the problem with this is, he says here, and there's a lot of problems, but one in particular that he mentions very specifically, he says, strong meat belongs to those which are of full age, they're mature. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But he's already told us that there are those that are inexperienced, that don't use the Word of God in the previous verse. So those that don't use the Word of God can't properly even discern good and evil. Do you see that? This is a big problem. And I talked about this last week, and I mentioned it. I've been in the church long enough, I've been in the ministry long enough, and I've been around the ministry long enough to see some incredible things. I've been the church and in the ministry and around the ministry, because I was around the ministry for years before I actually stepped into full-time ministry. And I have seen people that are absolute babies, and they will stay away from church to get you to call them, to get you to dote on them, to get you to respond to their immaturity. And I'm going to be honest with you, I get tired of it. Now, it doesn't mean that I won't call. Frank and I call once in a while, and you know, we have a good relationship. And I'll call other people, and you know, we have good relationships. But you guys aren't staying away from church to get me to call you. There are people that do. And when they do that, it shows an absolute immaturity, and they're babies. They can't even discern that that's bad, or they wouldn't be doing it. So when we grow up, what is it that he talks about growing up? It's using the Word of God. Growing up, using the Word of God is growing up. When we learn to use the Word of God, we're growing up. And this is massive, because this applies to every area of your life. You say, well, what about love? Well, what does the Word of God say about it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. What does it say? Love God first. So we have that. We're to have a love walk. That's right. And what we're supposed to do is get a hold of the Word and apply the Word. That's using the Word. There are three words that I use when I talk about the Word of God, and it is one of the most powerful things that there are. And those three words are to refer, to prefer, and to defer. So, the first one is to refer or reference. To give reference to the Word of God. You can't refer to the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God. You just think you can't do it. Oh, it's just that verse that says that stuff. That's not using the Word of God. You must refer to the Word of God. It should be a repository in your heart that is deep and wide. It is rich. The Word of God needs to dwell in you richly. And then we can refer to the Word of God. I'm talking about learning to use the Word of God. Then the second part is to prefer or preference. You have the opportunity when you hear it, you can now refer to it, then you have to prefer it above everything else. So you must prefer it, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to have the opportunity with other people's words and other ways to do something other than what God says. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Well, we need to get a hold of His thoughts. Where are they? In His Word. And we get a hold of His Word, and we can give reference to it, we can refer to it, but then we must prefer it over all these other words. Because you're going to have thousands of words coming at you. And then finally, you're going to have to defer or deference. And that means to defer to it means to absolutely obey it. To obey it. Now, when it comes to this, when we have these words of God that He gives us, well, they are right here. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We'll get into that here in a minute too. But He speaks to me, and I get a hold of His Word. Now, I've read it, I've heard it. One of the things Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do is He would bring back to your remembrance the word you've heard. So the Holy Spirit brings that word back. He brings that word back. And then you prefer it above every other word. Now you must defer to it in that you choose to obey it no matter what. And when you do that, you choose to obey it, you have deferred to it, what are you doing? You are using the Word of God. You're applying it to your life. When He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Pastor, you don't know my neighbor. You're right, I don't. That's okay. I mean, I know a few neighbors of people around here. I know Miss B's got a neighbor that she's good friends with, not necessarily right next door, but close. And, you know, we've got neighbors around us. We know, you know, we've got some across the road. We've got one right next door. I know them. But you say, Pastor, you don't know my neighbor. You don't know what they're like. Oh, but I know what God's Word says. And when He says love your neighbor, He's talking about anybody near you. It's not just the person that lives next door. And so when I make that statement and people get riled, you don't know. You don't know what it's like to love them. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what they've done to me. You don't know. You don't know. You don't. You're right, I don't. And guess what? I don't need to. All I know is what God said. And what He talks about with love is that it is not your emotions. Well, you know, we could talk about love forever. But let's go on into another thing. Submission to authority. When I was at Bible school, we had a class called Submission and Authority. And it was really submission to authority. And a lot of the students thought this is going to be about the believer's authority. It wasn't. By the way, this was taught by Keith Moore. And it really had to do with submission to the authorities that God has put into your life. And you may have someone as an authority figure, and you say, I don't have to be submitted to them. Beg to differ. If they're not telling you to do something that's illegal, that is, you know, is immoral, you know, goes against God's word, they may tell you, I want you to do it this way. You say, no. There's a better way to do it. They say, now, Earl, listen to me, do it this way. No. I'm not going to do it that way. There's a better way. Earl, listen to me. Do it this way. What am I doing? I'm rebelling against authority. God tells us to submit to authority. And it has to do with being faithful to even the way that they say. Sometimes you don't see the big picture. Sometimes when someone is telling you to do it a certain way and you think that there's a better way, and we have dealt with this, you don't always know everything that's going on. And sometimes when people think they know a better way, at the end of the day, they just ruined a whole bunch of stuff. Let me talk about that for a moment in a very simplistic way. You know, if we were to build this platform, thank God we didn't have to build this platform, but if we were to build this platform and we decide it's going to be this long and it's going to do this and it's going to do this, and so we have someone come in and help us, and we tell them, we want you to cut the boards this length. And we come back, and every board is cut wrong. Every single one. They say, no, you don't understand. This works better. You see, we're running the braces underneath this way. But that's not what I told you to do. I told you to cut them so we could put the braces this way. Yeah, but the other way works. The other way's great. There may have been a purpose for that. And the purpose may have been so that we could get under this way and we could get to the wiring at the back from the front. They didn't know that we were going to put wire, or we were going to put outlets on the front that ran to the back and then went under the other. They just chose to. So it's submission to authority. You don't always know the big picture. And sometimes when somebody tells you to do something a certain way, sometimes it's a test for you. Now, if you talk with them and you explain, and they say, no, please do it the way that I've asked you to, then do it. Just do it. This is a submission to authority. And the Bible talks about this. Romans chapter 13, I believe it is, talks about this. Being submitted to those in authority. And in the church as well. Now, why do I talk about this? Because when we hear these things, submission to authority, we get, oh yeah, that's great, that's right. These other people need to be submitted, but, you know, I really don't. And that's the attitude of a lot of people, and they'll never say it, because what they think submission is agreement, and submission is when there is a difference of will, and you choose to come under what they've asked you to do. Why am I talking about this? Because when we hear when we hear God's word, then we can refer to it, and we can go back to it, and we can say, you said to be submitted to the authorities, and so then I prefer that over my own will, and I defer to that, and I obey it. Can you see that? Okay? So we have this as far as being those that are going to obey the Word of God, and this is applying the Word of God. This is actually using the word properly. Now, I want to give you another aspect. This is just touching. Just wanted to give you a couple examples and I could give you a whole lot more. Now I want to talk about applying some things, and you're going to have to hear them. You're going to have to believe them before you can receive them. And that comes down to giving reference and then applying the word. When it doesn't look like it, when it doesn't feel like it, when it doesn't seem like it's going to come to pass. Because in the natural, there's no way. Doesn't make any sense. But remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith will always work. The gifts of the Spirit are amazing. Love the gifts of the Spirit when they're in operation. And I have seen people healed by the power of God in the gifts of the Spirit. But whether the gifts of the Spirit are in operation or not, faith will always work. Because I can believe what God said. And this is learning to grow up and apply the Word of God. Again, everyone that uses milk, he's never gone beyond those, I mean, most basic of things of salvation and so forth. He is unskillful. He's inexperienced in the righteous word of God. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, who by reason of use, which means practice, you continually do it. This is not a one-time thing. You continue to apply the word of God day after day after day. So, when God says something, we learn to apply it to our lives. Obedience, when He says to do something, but now we're going to learn about using the Word of God as a tool to get what He has provided. And that's the whole thing. It's not about getting just what I want. It's about getting what He has supplied. And here is the vast difference between what people think the Word of Faith message is and what the Word of Faith message is. The Word of Faith message is incredibly balanced. It's what Jesus has supplied you with. But what people think the Word of Faith message is, whatever I want. And those sometimes are vastly different. But when God says it, I learn to apply that to my life. Isaiah 53, 5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. So He says, He already did it. And here is where the body of Christ misses it. I have to beg God to do something, and God has already done it. And we need to learn to apply the Word of God where He says He's done it. Then He says it again, in 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might now live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's already been done. And people will say, yeah, every time somebody gets healed, we know that was the will of God, but when they don't, it wasn't God's will. No, that's not what it says. It says that the provision has already been made. So how do we apply it? How do we get a hold of this? It's the same thing. Let me give you another verse along those same lines. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. And I'll wait for Linda to pull it up. Matthew 8, 16. And this also has to do with healing. It says here, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias, which is Isaiah, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He already did it. So, I now have something to refer to. Now, I must prefer that. And my body may be screaming, it ain't true. Because I hurt. The doctor's reports may be screaming, it ain't true. Look at this. I have to choose a report to believe. And so I choose to not only refer, but to prefer what he said. I don't deny any symptom or any report. What I do is I deny it the right to remain and to dominate. I'm not in denial. I am in a place where I say, God's word says this, and I prefer it above what you've said, and then I defer to it, and I say what he has said about me and to me, and I choose it, and I obey it, and I apply it to my life. But my God has already spoken, and he said, who his own self bear my own sins and his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sins, should live now unto righteousness. By his stripes, I am healed. I was healed. It is finished. So be it. Amen. And I choose to grab hold of that. And what I am doing is I am bringing into the realm of the natural that which God has supplied for me by the things that Jesus did. And I learn to apply the Word of God in everyday life. This is one area, healing. Another area, these are the two areas that we have the most problems with, is finances. Finances and healing. Healing, because I feel, because I have these reports. Finances, because I have these reports. I can see my checkbook. I can see, I can hear, I understand all of this stuff. But what is God's report? Now, all of this is going to require us to walk by faith and not by sight. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God created the universe? Do you believe that? Why do you believe it? Were you there when it happened? Did you see this mighty explosion? No. We believe it because he said it. Plain and simple. I wasn't there. But when he said it, he put something into his word which has a persuasion built in. People say, I can't believe it. Yeah, you can. You can believe it. Do you believe Jesus raised from the dead? Yes. Was I there when it happened? No. But he said it. Now we can go through and we can look at all kinds of scientific things here and there. But the truth is, I wasn't there. I believe it because he said it. Now, when it comes to healing, when it comes to finances, we're at a point where we can't coast anymore. We can't do it. We have got to believe what he has said. And when you have a point of reference, his word, then you have something to prefer, his word or somebody else's, then you have the point of deferring to it, believing it, grabbing hold of it, and bringing it into the realm of the seen. Two verses, and then I'll quit. And we already looked at this one, but in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we looked at this much earlier in the service, and I really am wrapping it up. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ or the word of God. For it is what? The power. That's the word dunamis. It is the explosive power of God. Unto salvation to everyone that believes. A lot of people will say, well, I needed healing, but I didn't get it. I needed this, but I didn't get it. I needed that, but I didn't get it. Were you believing? That's the first question. And most of them will say, well, I was hoping. I mean, there's a big difference between hope and belief. There really is. But he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And that word salvation is the word soteria in the Greek, and it means salvation, it means deliverance, it means health, it really means whatever you need. So, he says, I am not ashamed of the word of God, for in the word of God is the power of God unto whatever I need, if I will believe what he has said. And what you do then with your faith is you pierce to the core of that word and you extract. Just like putting a needle into a very small thing, they will take and put with in vitro fertilization, they will take the eggs and they can actually extract eggs. Well, they do that, and they pierce into something, and they pull something out. That's what you do with faith. You pierce into the core of the Word of God, where the power of God is, and you draw that power out for what you need. But you have to have His Word on it. You have to have a point of reference. You have to have a point of preferring. And then deferring is believing and drawing. And then the final scripture I want to give is Luke 1:37. And I know I go over these all the time. Luke 1:37. King James says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, the way that this is written in the Greek, it actually uses the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And that is the spoken word. And what it says, and I'm going to give you the paraphrase of it, no, not a single spoken word of God is void of power. Void of power to do what? To do what he said. So I like to say it this way. No, not a single spoken word of God is void of power to perform what he says. Flip that on its head. You do no damage to it. Every single spoken word of God is mighty and powerful to perform what he says. But it has to do with believing and faith. And this is why we have got to live by faith. We got to believe this. When God says something, don't just let it go over your head. I see this all the time. I'll say something that is absolutely incredible that God is speaking through me, and I will see people, and it's like their eyes have just glazed over and the word is just flying over the top of their head. And they're not getting it at all. You cannot be that way. I understand what it's like to be out there. I've been out there longer than I've been up here. So I know what it's like. And I know how I missed so much. Draw on the Word of God. And when you are in your private times, oh dear Lord, get a hold of what He says. Let the Spirit of God bring you revelation. Let Him bring you revelation. There's so much more I could talk about, but I don't have time. Father, we thank You. This is the day that You've made. We rejoice and are glad in it. We will walk by faith and not by sight. I thank You, Father, that we hear Your word. Father, I thank You that by the Holy Spirit, we have revelation of that word. I thank You that by the Holy Spirit and the word itself...